Today's Bible reading is taken from John
chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal in life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God."
Welcome to you all. I've really enjoyed all the different elements that come into a service and the areas of prayer. I don't know what you guys do, but I always find I'm picking up little, like, extra jigsaw pieces that I didn't expect to find in the journey. I've learnt things that are going on for different people's lives. The prayer just was so expansive, so local, and yet it took us all the way to Ukraine and Gaza and elsewhere, and really important to think about the world that we're in as well. When I say jigsaw pieces, I really think about that term that Jesus says about the Spirit blows where it will. And the Spirit does blow where it will. And I think there are different Holy Spirit moments each day that if we're alert and praying, "Lord, don't let me miss one good thing from you today," then I think we get that Spirit blowing through us as we meet people down the street, as we remember people from the past, as we read scripture, as we hear a song, as maybe different memories come up for us as well, or we hear chance conversations, maybe not so chance, on the radio or even on TV, that can be like those Holy Spirit moments. So in this room, it's really important for us to know that the Lord moves amongst us. It's really important to know that we gather in worship really as a celebration of what God has been doing in and through us during the week. This is not the only time that we're Christian. I know it sounds obvious, but I think some people might forget that sometimes. To be a follower of Jesus is 24/7. And it takes us everywhere. Everywhere that you have been, the Lord has been with you. And I love that sense of being gathered together. It was great areas to pray for people during the week. One of the people I wanted to just thank God for is Robin Millership. This is your first worship service that you've returned since the hip surgery. And I reckon that's worth a thank you, God, round of applause just for thank you, God. I've never had hip surgery. I imagine that day is marked out there somewhere. But for those that I've met over the past, I know it's a pretty grueling recovery with lots of movement and lots of activity, and you can't stop. You just got to keep going. So, Robin, we're grateful for that. But I was really grateful too to see you here on Thursday for Kathy's funeral service and the beautiful flowers here, and to hear you read from Romans 8, which was the reading selection of readings that Kath had actually chosen. And there's something about that I think maybe for all of us to store away somewhere. It's actually good to think about what is my favourite reading and to just benchmark that with family or someone so that when that day comes, you can actually sort of almost hear the person's voice. And for me, who hadn't had the chance to meet Kath or her great faith over the years, it was like, oh, now I understand something of her hope, something of her message, something of her prayer. And these flowers, I don't know whether you might have noticed the aroma from them on the way in. I certainly did getting here early this morning, and maybe the heat overnight as well, just the aroma of those flowers. And I thought, now, what a wonderful thing to celebrate. Oh, thank you, Tom. It's very good of you. I might need it. I'll just leave it here. Thank you, Tom. That's really. I'm feeling moved. I may not use it, but that's really good. Thank you. Sometimes just to bring, in anticipation, water to someone is such a really kind act. So, look, I just want to encourage you that all of our lives, like Kath's life, have an aroma to them. There's something beautiful, really, about us that sometimes maybe only you and the Lord might know. And I think the worst thing is that often in the world, people see us through sort of mean, focused eyes, and we're not always appreciated for really who we are or what we do or what we bring, depending on the families and sometimes the nations that we're born into as well, or the period of time. That's a long introduction to what I hope will be a helpful sermon today about where you are with the Lord and how the reading today is really not just about Nicodemus, but about really each of us and each of your friends and the people that you work with as well. Let's just pray. Lord God, I want to thank you because you have gathered us. It's at your welcome that we're here. As Paul reminded us, it's from your hands that communion was served. It's your desire that we draw close to you. It's your will that we're filled so much by the movement of the Holy Spirit that we feel that friendship. And we understand that you are speaking to us today and that you are concerned about our friends and our family and our neighbours and our nation. And you are still weeping over the nations of the world and pleading. So, Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be part of your intercessory prayer and your hope. And today, we just ask, Lord, despite the heat, that we can find something refreshingly new about this reading today. It might be very familiar to some of us, and maybe to others, Lord, it's just the first time. So help us, Lord, to get the things that we need from it. So before I just talk about that particular reading and some of the things that really occurred to me, I am grateful for the conversations I have with people here over the week. I had what I found a really uplifting, helpful, stimulating conversation with one of the young adults that attends church here. And it was, and they started with a question about time and about waiting and how, you know, how time sometimes is very, very slow and then other times it speeds up really rapidly. And we found ourselves talking about the idea of chronos time, and you might feel chronos time now. Is John going to stop? I think it's time to go home. It's the ticking of the clock. But when you were in school, do you remember how long it took to get from 3:28 to 3:30 and the final bell? It was about 4 days. And whereas when you're wanting really exciting, you know, just wanting to do something, you know, time can move really quickly. You know, an amazing movie, you look at your watch thinking, was that really 4 hours? It only felt like 5 minutes if it's been crafted well. So chronos time, even though it's set, moves. And then there's the idea of seasonal time or kairos time, a season. The time when the world shifts, when new things change, when a war ends, when summer begins, when something fresh starts in life, a marriage, an engagement, something where there's the newness of that kairos. And then we talked about the nature of temporal time, the time that we're all sharing here now, but for all of us, the future, the eternity is actually moving in. And a reason why I'm holding this paper is it's from the Ancient Gates song that we sang before, and that song has the idea of the temporary and the eternal all woven together. And it has this wonderful sense that for each of us that are sitting here today, with our history and the history of Scripture and the Scriptures that we might know, what's happening for us today, but also the future of God that is mingled with our seasons now is really important. So that song has a little refrain that just says, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come. It's that sense of with Jesus, it's not just the honouring of the past, it's also recognising the Lord who is with us in whatever joy or struggle we're currently in, and also the Lord who is still to come, the one who holds all of time together, and you and I are held in that time. There's something so precious about that that meets us in a beautiful funeral service like last Thursday, that meets us when a new child is born, when we find ourselves in a different sort of zone of celebration. And the other thing about that song I really like is, bring your song, he loves to hear it. Bring him every prayer-soaked lyric. Jesus, he's so worthy of it all. I don't know what you're like with little tiny kids. You know, when they're like 1.5 or 2, 2.5, maybe 3, and they're starting to bring home songs from kindergarten, and they're kind of a bit mashed up and sometimes a little bit weird, and you know that the words aren't right. But what do you do? What does a healthy parent or grandparent do? They sit there and they applaud and they can't wait to hear it mutilated again, because the life is so precious, your ears change and your heart is softened and you just want to hear more and more of this little emerging life. I reckon that is the kind of feel we need to get with the living God. That when you come to the Lord with whatever your lyric is, whatever that song is in your life, it can be a bit mangled, maybe it's a bit teary, maybe the words aren't right, maybe you've forgotten your ancient Greek and you can't kind of get it all holy enough. But I reckon the Lord, who is a great parent, draws you to his knee, because Jesus doesn't send the children away, and listens. What is being sung? What is being celebrated? So I really want to encourage you with your voice. And the other thing that has come from a memory for me singing this morning is, I was on a team retreat for some ministers from Ringwood years and years ago, and Penny Martin was part of that retreat. I remember walking along with her and I could hear her humming. Just humming, and it wasn't, you know, anything amazing, but she was just humming. And we started talking about whatever she's doing. She sort of has this little humming sound. There's a little bit of a melody that goes on. And I realised in talking to a lot of other people, a lot of people have a melody. It's not something that maybe you'd put on the radio. It's not going to be on Spotify, probably. But it's something like, this is your tune. Just a quick show of hands, and I know some of you might be wildly embarrassed, but does anybody have like a little bit of a tune or a melody or a whistle that they kind of have when they're working in the garden, when they're going for a walk? Any hands at all? Yeah, I can see little hands going up. Don't be ashamed. I reckon this is the loveliness about us. All of us, I think, have a bit of a sound. And that song, that hymn, that great song of worship picks that up. But I think this is what the Lord is really looking for out of the reading today. There's something about the nature of Nicodemus that is really quite incredible. And Jesus understands things about Nicodemus that maybe Nicodemus doesn't fully understand about himself. The last little part of John chapter 2 talks about how Jesus knows what's inside people. He understands them. Doesn't need to be told what's going on for Bridget or for David or for Chris or for Beverly. There's a sense in Jesus where he has a deep knowledge of the who you are from the very beginning of everything. But Jesus is really patient. And so often in conversation, there's the two-way kind of thing of, Lord, can you reveal something to me? I'm a bit confused about this. That's why we pray. Prayer is a tumbling conversation with our Lord. It doesn't have to be neat. Doesn't have to even start with, O Lord, maker of heaven and earth, Lord of the seen and the unseen. It could start with that, but it can be, oh Lord, I'm in so much trouble today. I don't know what to think. I've just had the most terrible phone call and I don't know what to do. And so with your hands in the sink or walking in the backyard or sitting on a park bench, that's where our prayers go. So I think about Nicodemus in that kind of light. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and we could spend a lot of time with all the different theological views of night, but I think, you know, Nicodemus is probably pretty nervous. He knows that there's a lot of talk about Jesus already. The wedding at Cana, people talking about the amazing wine, the overturning of the tables in the temple, that got a lot of people's attention. I'm sure all in the political and the religious elite are saying, you better watch out for this guy. That's a very public kind of act. So Nicodemus comes at night. But night in John's gospel is also the sense of there's a lack of understanding. They're not quite sure. The jury's out. There's a mystery. So Nicodemus comes, and Jesus, who knows what's in Nicodemus, begins to talk to him. And there's a question from Nicodemus about, I think that the deep conversation is about the nature of faith, and Jesus says, well, you really need to be born again, because everything to do with the flesh, well, that's the flesh, that's being born, and you can't, and as Nicodemus says, well, you can't go back and be born from your mother again. Yes, that would be, as all the women here would say, we would never want that, thank you. As much as we love our kids, I think once was enough. So Nicodemus, in one level, has been quite funny, but also quite profound. And Jesus draws out this incredible sense of, yes, because you actually need to be reborn. Reborn of the Spirit. Reborn with that touch and the intimacy of God. Reborn in a way that will change the way that you see and the way that you feel about the world. You begin to perceive things with a different timeline of history. Past, present, and the eternal future. You'll start to understand that God is with you in intimate time, away from the temple, away from a place of worship. God might be with you. Anyway, these are the things that I think are implied in the conversation. And the other implication, I think, is for Nicodemus. He has done everything, really, to have a full sense of what eternal or hopeful life might be. He's a distant son of Abraham, so he gets a tick. He's part of that religious ruling party, so he's circumcised. He gets a tick in terms of the things that you need to do to fit. He'd be eating all the right foods. He gets a tick, 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 tick. But Jesus is really saying, that will not reveal the fullness of the heart of God. That will not reveal the intimacy of God to you. There is the something more that's really needed. So I love the nature of this conversation, because if we had the time over morning tea and if you had the boldness to say, well, I remember when Jesus actually had a pretty strong talk with me. I didn't want to get baptized, and then suddenly I went forward at the end of a service and I thought, actually, this is the time I really need to do this. Or somebody said to me, what are you doing? And I realized, actually, I think it's like Jesus saying to me, what are you doing? Or the time you were waiting for something, maybe a hospital visit or to come out of, you know, for someone to come out of surgery, and you've had that deep kind of prayer. That's the conversation with Nicodemus. It's unique to Nicodemus, but it also is a conversation we all need to hear. The Holy Spirit is moving, blowing where he will, ready to visit, ready to encourage. I got a bit bogged down in names during this too. Nicodemus, anybody know what Nicodemus means? Just as a random question, you never know who studies names. Victory of the people. It's a Greek origin name, victory of the people. So when you think about Nicodemus coming, there's something about even the meaning of the name. Is it going to be a victory of the rich? A victory of the ruling elite? A victory of Rome? No, it's a victory of the people. Something I think quite powerful about that particular name. And as the conversation unfolds, we learn something about the heart of Jesus. Jesus says things like, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, not to condemn the world but to save the world. There's something powerful about the intimacy of that, because for someone like Nicodemus, who's really thinking about the judgment of God, the commandments you've broken, the fine-tuning of all the things you've probably screwed up in the day, getting blood on you from a child who cut their knee, not tying a knot properly on a Sabbath, and somebody might have seen that you actually worked. Now, there are a lot of things to be feeling guilty about. And so for Jesus to say, for God so loved, it's not for God so hated, or for God was so disappointed, or for God was so angry, or because God couldn't stand the place. And there are faiths in the world, and there are brands of Judaism at the time that felt that way. God is an angry God, a vicious God, a violent God, a God who will hunt you down. For any small thing that you have done, you will be a hunted person until you're taken out from his hope and his book. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, not to judge, but to save. So to come to a close in this sermon today, I want you to think just for a moment about someone that you might have been longing to see, someone that you have been wanting to just shake their hand, give them a hug, say, oh, I've missed you so much. I want you to think about that for just a moment, and then I'm going to ask, can anybody think of an example of a time when you're waiting? So your sense of time, chronos time, kairos time, feels like an eternity until this happens. Think about a time when your welcome of somebody else was just so longed for, so precious, so anticipated, so important. Anybody got an example? Chris? At the airport. Show of hands. Anybody else had that airport moment? You get there early because you don't want to be late. You hang around drinking pretty ordinary coffee, waiting for the doors to open, and you're waiting. You think you see someone like that's not there. No, that feeling? How many people had that feeling? You just sit, wait and you're anxious and you're anxious and you can't wait to see them. What happens? What happens to you when you see them? Sorry? You cry. Yes, you can say that. You do. David, does that feel tender? You cry. And for the blokes, you can't control it. They'll be doing the, oh, there's this little something. So I'll just have to go to the loo, whatever it is. Yeah, but people cry. You can't help it. It's the involuntary sense of all the emotion is starting to pour out. Somebody else. Bill. Sorry? Oh, you're waiting for your doc? Waiting for a doctor, waiting for a result, something like that, when everything is actually hanging on that as well. And that can end up with feelings of relief or just feelings of, I'm not sure what we do now. So what we're hearing now is that the waiting is filled with an emotion. And the emotion is really important. So when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, this is not just an interesting point of theology. This has at-depth emotional sensitivity around it. Nicodemus becomes a changed person. We only meet him two more times in John's Gospel. In chapter 7, as the religious elite are sitting around saying, we don't like Jesus very much, we think he's really dangerous. People are saying he's a son of God, we think he's a lunatic, we want him killed. We want him out of the way. They're already starting to plot. And Nicodemus says, excuse me, can we just remember for a moment who we are? And we don't condemn people without a proper sense of investigation and conversation. We need to do more talking and less judging. That's essentially what he says. And then we meet him again in chapter 19 of John. Jesus is crucified, he's taken from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea has provided a tomb and he's with Jesus, and Nicodemus brings a huge amount of aloe and frankincense as part of the spices, the sort of comforting herbs to wrap around Jesus' body as he's entombed. So Nicodemus makes a huge, huge journey. And we don't really meet him again, but we could assume he's actually a follower. He is a disciple. I imagine him, as we think about time now, but eternal time, I think of Nicodemus today. I'm so grateful for the conversation he had. I'm so grateful that he wanted to have that conversation with Jesus. And through the transmission of conversation and talk, John's got that in this room for us today to realise that Jesus is personal about who we are and where we're going. So while I'd asked you about the thing about waiting, one of my favourite sets of readings is from Luke's Gospel, with the story of the three, the lost sheep, lost coin and the lost son. And just at the start of that reading, the religious elite are complaining. And what they're complaining is about is Jesus welcomes and is eating with sinners. That's in English what it says. Jesus welcomes and is eating with sinners. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of Greek. It's very rare for me. One, because I'll say it wrong, and two, because it means kind of nothing. But there's something about the Greek word for welcome in Luke which is really significant. In English, it's just welcome. So when we stand at the door on a Sunday morning, you might have a welcome. Chris, good to see you today. Welcome, there's a seat inside. Grab a newsletter on the way. You know, a welcome can be... Sorry, I just crushed Chris's hand. Might never play piano again. So a welcome can be pretty quick, and it might be meaningful, but it may not go to any great depth. Hi, good to see you. You know, nice, tell your story walking. It can be at that level. In Greek, dekamai is the Greek word for welcome, but the word in Luke is prosdekamai. Prosdekamai is the kind of welcome that Chris has talked about and you talking about there's tears at the airport. Prosdekamai is a sort of sense of I've missed this person for so long and I've thought about them so much that even to see them, just their little head in the distance, I'm already, this is the father in the prodigal son, I'm already on my feet and running to them. I just want to get my hands around them and show them how much I've missed them and loved them in this moment. That's what the religious rulers hate. And they complain about Jesus because he prosdekamizes them. He welcomes them like a lost son. He welcomes them like the daughter they haven't seen for 20 years. He welcomes them like the most precious, important, significant person. It would be like getting, however you imagine heaven, being on that other bank, on that other shore, and suddenly see your dear old mum and your dear old dad, and you can't wait, and they can't wait to get their arms around you. That's how Jesus is with those that others are throwing on the scrap heap of life, saying they don't really matter, they don't count that much. But that is the depth of Jesus' welcome. So for where we are today, we live in a world where people are so often rejected, and some of you here might have been as well. We live in a world where people are often just treated as a statistic or as a number or for what they'll pay and what their subscription is, rather than the way that Jesus saw people, which is to know them by name, to know what's actually stirring in their heart, to know what is in their mind, the terrorising things and also the beautiful and the hopeful things, and Jesus' ability to have the conversation that you need to grow into be the best Nicodemus, the best Mary, the best Rosemary, the best Bill that we can possibly be until the kingdom comes. Let's pray. Lord God, I really want to thank you because you are with us, and I thank you for Jesus' endlessly timeless words of truth. They are light in a dark world. Imagine what it would be for Putin to wake up one morning and realise that everyone in the Ukraine are his brothers and sisters. Imagine what it would look like for political leaders in Israel through Hamas, no matter where we might think of, to wake up one day and think, actually, everyone that I'm sending the troops out to kill has a name. And they're known by God. And they have an eternity. They have a future. And whether I like it or not or understand it, they're my brothers and my sisters. Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross for that world, where we might see each other out of the eyes of deep worth, out of a welcome that is so outrageously generous that we can't bear to lose or to be without someone else, even someone who's just a stranger. So, Lord, we thank you for your ministry, and we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would increase that here and in all of the places that take your name. Everything is too precious to waste time.